This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Awaiting the Senate's take on taxes. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The House isn't quite done putting together its tax plan, but the Senate isn't waiting. We're expecting the Senate's version to be unveiled today. Diane Swonk is here to talk us through what we might see. She's CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
What do we expect to be different about the Senate's tax bill in comparison to the House?
Well, some of the biggest differences between the Senate and the House tax bill is going to be the speed or maybe the rate at which corporate taxes are actually cut. They're trying to figure out how to pay for this, and that may mean a higher rate of corporate taxes versus the House plan. It also means that they're looking for other pay-fors in the individual tax rate in the Senate plan, and that's where it gets a little complicated. It is a cut, it's not just reform, and it's going to add to the overall budget deficit.
$1.7 trillion, I think I heard from the CBO, is that right?
Correct. I think they're going to try to whittle that down a bit to be able to fall within areas where they can pass it with a simple majority instead of having a bipartisan support on this vote.
You're in Washington right now. I imagine there's a great sense of urgency. Republicans need a win. But it brings to mind the tax reform of the 1980s. That took several years. Is there any sense that this tax plan is suffering from the speed with which it is getting done?
That's one of the key casualties. People forget the legislative process is deliberative for a reason, and that's to examine all of the consequences and unintended and well-intended. And when you don't have that deliberative process, you're not going to get to all the potential scenarios that could happen, and that's what I fear is what we're seeing today.
Meanwhile, Fed Chair Janet Yellen, she's not going to remain as Fed Chair, but she might actually remain possibly on the Fed board. Is that right?
Yes. One of the interesting issues is that your governor seat lasts for much longer than a chair seat does. She does not leave. She has a seat as a governor on the Federal Reserve until 2024. It would be useful to have Janet Yellen at the table, particularly for Chair Powell as he takes over, given she has the muscle memory of the crisis and the intellectual fortitude to deal with the growing division within the Fed. She can speak the economics to the other economists in their debate about the trajectory of rates going forward.
All right. Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Alaska may be, in the next few years, sending natural gas through a pipeline to Asia. Alaska Governor Bill Walker signed a deal in Beijing outlining how Chinese and American companies would work together to build such a pipeline, aiming to sign contracts by 2018. The agreement doesn't guarantee the construction of a pipeline. It's hard to be a fast food chain these days. Wendy's shares just this week took a hit as the company's latest sales and profits numbers came in way below expectations. The number of fast food customers in general just isn't growing. And this is pushing some chains, like Wendy's, to rebrand themselves. Near its headquarters in Columbus, Ohio, Wendy's has gutted one of its oldest restaurants and turned it into a laboratory of sorts where it can test new ideas on customers before rolling them out to its more than 6,500 other locations. Marketplace's Mariel Segura went to take a look.
Picture the inside of a fast food restaurant. Big menu board, plastic booths, those brown trays sticky with ketchup from the last customer. The kind of place you get in and get out. The Wendy's in Columbus, Ohio's Clintonville neighborhood takes a different approach. Rajiv Sabarwal, an executive at Wendy's, is standing on the restaurant's outdoor patio underneath a string of twinkle lights.
We've got the heat lamps over here. We've got some real nice, comfortable couch seating sitting out here. So something like you'd see in your backyard.
This Wendy's also has printed menus, bar seating, and an open kitchen. Heather Poole, who lives in the neighborhood, is ordering a chicken sandwich from an electronic kiosk, although she considered the junior bacon cheeseburger.
Trying to feel a little bit virtuous, even if, as I'm eating in a fast food restaurant.
Poole says she likes the new space.
This feels very welcoming. It feels much more upscale. It's not plastic seats.
Clintonville was one of Wendy's first locations, opened in 1973. It reopened in March as a sort of laboratory where the fast food chain can test new store designs and get reactions from customers. The lab is part of a bigger strategy at Wendy's to create a dining experience that'll bring more customers into its restaurants. The fast food chain has added fireplaces, TVs, and free Wi-Fi to about a third of its North American restaurants and says sales at those locations have jumped between 7 and 10% on average. Overall, sales at Wendy's restaurants have grown by about 3.5% in the past year. Abigail Pringle, Wendy's chief development officer, says the company's founder, Dave Thomas, was big on hospitality.
He used to have a host and hostess. He used to have the old, in those days, carpet and wood paneling and wonderful Tiffany lamps.
Wendy's got away from all that in the 80s. It switched to cafeteria seating and got used to people rolling through the drive-thru. Pringle says that approach doesn't work anymore. Grocery prices are falling, so it's cheaper to eat at home. And there's more competition now with the rise of restaurants that fall in between fast food and sit down, chains like Panera.
We very much look to what can we do to differentiate ourselves and really create a different experience.
McDonald's has also been sprucing up its restaurants, adding wooden tables, faux leather chairs, and espresso drinks. David Donnan, a partner at A.T. Kearney, says there is a risk to making your restaurant too comfortable. Ask any coffee shop owner.
People spend 2, 3, 4 hours with just purchasing one cup of coffee.
He says for Wendy's strategy to work, its new customers are going to have to spend money, too. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.